Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 24 through 29. And my subject this morning might sound like a strange one, but the Apostle Paul set the stage for it by his very statement that he makes in these verses. We want to preach on the subject of being born free. And not like the old 1960s hippies song singing about being born free. It spun off of turning a line loose or something like that, I think. But we're talking about born free in the sense that Paul indicates it here, and in the light of how we are free, not only because God freed us, Christ freed us by His power, but we're free because we are citizens of the United States of America. And our children are born in a free country. That can't be said to be true of a lot of children today throughout the world. There are children being born this minute in nations that are literally dictatorships. And people are oppressed on every hand, very often don't have enough food, very often don't have the necessities of life altogether. But we're born free in two ways. We're born free into a country, a land of liberty, and we're born free when we're saved by the grace of God into the kingdom of God. So let's read these verses, chapter 22. Let's read verses 24 through 29 and look at what we learn and can learn from Brother Paul. Verse 24, the chief captain. Now Paul has caused a big uproar here in Jerusalem, and they're wanting to put him to death. They've taken hold of him, and they're trying to cause a huge disturbance. And at this point, the Roman law comes into play. The law keepers, the Roman soldiers, come into play, and they see that there's a big uprising, a big noise, and a big mob, and they're going to take over and get peace and cause peace to settle in here and bring peace to the mob. The chief captain then commanded Paul to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, with great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, "But I was free born." Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Now we find here in this a little snapshot of Roman rule of the day. And in those days, there some people in some countries and some cities that were under Roman rule were what we might call servant states or cities, or slave states or cities. That is, they didn't have the rights of citizenship that actual Roman citizens had. And some scholars think that, and Paul reveals to us here that he is a Roman citizen, some scholars think that he was a Roman citizen because the Roman government under Augustus Caesar had granted freedom and citizenship to all of the inhabitants of the city of Tarsus that Paul had came from, that he was raised in, that his parents, that his family was in. So Paul's family, being of Tarsus, of course, then, were Roman citizens. Now, despite how brutal and warlike the political and the social policies and activities of the Roman Empire were, we recognize, as we study history about the Roman Empire, that empire was noted for its law and order. They had soldiers and other law keepers stationed all over the known world that the Roman Empire had control over, And those people were there to maintain law and order. They were there to make sure that the citizens of the land, although many of those countries had their own government and their own governors and their own law keepers in many instances, overarching all of that was the Roman law keepers, the soldiers and their commanders and so forth. And so they kept the law, and they made sure the law was kept. In the case in our text, the Roman soldiers were assigned to keep the law here at Jerusalem. And although there, as I said, there was a local government, which was actually run by the Jewish rulers of the day, you've heard them called the Sanhedrin, the Roman soldiers were really the last word on keeping the law in the Roman Empire. So the Jewish government didn't have all authority, all governing authority, and issues that affected the public, such as a mob uproar like this, were the very things that brought attention to the Roman legions and brought and caused the Roman commanders to take charge and take over the situation. And this is the stage that we find Brother Paul in here. This is the stage, if you will, of acting that he was on. The Jews, as I said, have accused him of polluting the synagogue and of causing insurrection. So when this mob event starts, the Roman soldiers step in. And when they do, they begin to follow the process to get to the bottom of the big uproar. And they're suddenly confronted here, as we read to you, with a problem about Paul. They intended to whip him, and they had legal justification, legal right for that. The laws of Rome, the laws of the Roman Empire, outlined ways to get the truth out of people, and one of those that was allowed to the Roman soldiers, to the law keepers of the day that were representing the Roman Empire, was to scourge or beat them, a kind of old-fashioned waterboarding is what it was, and to get out of them what they wanted to find out as a result of that. Now, brothers and sisters, it's from this incident that's happened here that we want to take our message today. And I want to begin by saying that I believe the Lord gave me this message because we're on the eve of celebrating our Independence Day. And as I said earlier, I'm going to be calling our day, July the 4th, Independence Day from now on, because never before in America have we been faced with the need to resist tyranny. And it's critical today that we think about doing that, that we think about our role and give some consideration, biblical consideration, to what our role is in resisting tyranny when men that are supposed to be leaders and rulers and authoritarians step beyond what they're supposed to be doing. What do we do? What is our role in all of this? Now, as we think about this, I want us to look at this encounter between Paul and the Roman soldiers, and I want us to notice some facts about the rights of free men and the infringement that can occur by government that rules over them. Because if we can find biblical justification or biblical explanation for how we're to conduct ourselves, I think it gives us an open door, an open way that we're supposed to conduct our business in the face of what I have to call tyrannical, dictatorial behavior by government and government representatives. And so let's see what we have here in this story about Paul. And I hope our message today is going to inspire every one of you to get serious about calling down the power of God to intervene for us, for the freedom this country has enjoyed for over 200 years. Because we're going to need God's help to retain what freedoms we still have. Brothers and sisters, if you're uninformed about what's happening, let me just inform you now. We're going to need help from God to retain the freedoms that we have in America right now. We've already lost a whole encyclopedia of them just in the last 10 to 20 years, and there's more to come. So let's see from this account in the Bible what we can learn about what is our role in this kind of environment that Paul finds himself in which the government is taken over. That's what's happened. Here are the Roman soldiers, and here's this Roman colonel, and he's taking charge. And he's got Paul ready to be tied up and some things done to him. So as we read, verse 24, he says, "The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him." Now I want you to remember first of all at this point that Paul was just a Roman subject without Roman citizenship rights to this Roman colonel, this chief captain at this point. He was not any different from any other person out there in that mob in Jerusalem. And of course, a lot of those Jews did not have Roman citizenship. They were Israeli citizens, but Roman citizenship was another thing altogether. And in those days, there were a couple of ways you could get Roman citizenship. One of them was if you was born to a set of Roman parents, you were a Roman citizen. Another was if you were made to be a Roman citizen by the Caesar giving freedom to a city or a region or a country, declaring them to be free and making them all citizens of the Roman Empire. And another was you could buy your Roman citizenship under certain circumstances. So you could become a Roman citizen, but not everybody under Roman rule was so, as I've said. And so when the chief captain took Paul into custody, he just saw him as another Jew that didn't have citizenship. And so he was going to conduct his business with Paul that way. Now, brothers and sisters, in a nation of law and order, there is a procedure that is to be followed by those in power when they're obeying the laws. If they're obeying the laws of the land in a land of laws, as the Roman Empire certainly was, there's a procedure they're bidden to follow. In other words, there's a set of rules to follow. This Roman colonel, this Roman chief captain, had a set of rules. And under his command and the way he was to conduct business, I believe that the first thing was to talk to both sides, and when he couldn't get enough information, the person being accused by the group that had come accusing was going to have to be beat so he would tell the truth. That was the procedure in that soldier court that they held. And so it is in every nation where there are laws. There is a procedure to follow. And I make this point because, brothers and sisters, one of the first indicators that a nation or the leaders of a nation have begun to stray from the straight and narrow about the liberty of a people who live in that country is when they begin to stray from the procedure and begin to do things that are outside the law of the land. And that's about what was just about to happen to Brother Paul here by this Roman court, soldier court. So in a nation of law and order, any citizen who occupies a position of high authority or responsibility is bound to obey the law. That's why people being sworn into office in America swear to uphold the Constitution. That's the reason it's done. So that they are under oath to keep the laws of the land and to follow the procedures of the laws of the land. Now, under that kind of uniformity, being uniform in how you conduct yourself in carrying out the laws of the land, and in the uniformity of how people are supposed to be punished or be found guilty according to the laws of the land, when a person is caught up in the process, we realize that in a land of liberty, or in a land of laws, those people who are in that situation should have to pay the same penalty as if they're rich, if they're powerful, whatever their case, if they're poor, if they're street people, they should all have to pay the same and equal law punishment for whatever laws are broken. And when you see a country and a people begin to diverge from that and go away from keeping uniformity in enforcement of the law, you see a people who are about to have their rights infringed upon. And that is where we are. Now let me ask all of you a question. I'm going to use this as an example. I know I've used it before in to illustrate a point. But I want to use it as an illustration to show you that just like Brother Paul was about to be beat contrary to the law, an exception was going to be made, but the exception that the Roman ruler made was according to the Roman law. In other words, he didn't beat Paul because the law said you can't beat a Roman citizen without due process. Now, for the rest of those people that we rule over, if they don't give up the information to you, you take the whip to them and get the information out of them. Now, let me illustrate how irregularity exists in a nation that has gone away from equal enforcement of the law. I want to illustrate it by asking each of you a question. If you evaded income taxes to the tune of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you were caught, do you think you'd pay a penalty for it? You have to shake your head like this. But you let the Secretary of the Treasury do it, and there's not so much as a hand slap in the United States. There's something wrong with this picture. And so the British, Roman soldier was going to enforce the law of the land of Rome, of the kingdom of Rome, and he began to plan to beat Paul. He was not arbitrary. He was enforcing the law. Verse 25, "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is Roman and uncondemned?" Now, let's read on just a little bit further because these next few verses tie in together. Verse 26, "When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, Yea. Let's go ahead and read verse 28. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, or in other words, whipped him to question him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Now there's some things in these verses here that I want us to notice. First of all, I want us to notice that this verse of Scripture, at least verse 25, should teach us something about what free people are allowed to do and ought to be emboldened to do under situations where the law is about to be broken by those who are supposed to enforce the law. Notice that in verse 25, that the brother Paul says, as they bound him, Paul said this, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Brothers and sisters, a free people should challenge government when due process is violated, and when discrimination and preference are practiced that the law does not define explicitly and sanction. Let me say that again. free people should challenge. And I want you to note that this man challenging the Roman power is a Christian. Free people should challenge a government or government people who presume to break the law or seem to be going beyond the law or in jeopardy of going beyond the law to do something to us or another citizen of our country. Free people should be ready and willing to challenge such actions. And we need to realize that because every totalitarian dictator that has ever taken over a country did so because the people laid down and let him do so. And we find that for God's people, we've enjoyed more than 200 years of freedom of religion, being able to worship as we pleased, God as we saw and understood Him to be. And one of the first things that will happen to any nation that becomes comes under the power of a dictator is that they will lose freedom of religion. It has to happen because that's expression of the inner man, and dictators can't put up with it. So now, verse 25, I think teaches us that. I want to show you something also in Acts chapter 16 that the Apostle Paul teaches us about this kind of thing. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 38, we find that the Apostle Paul is arrested and put in the jail at Philippi. Most of us know this, and we're familiar with it because of the salvation that came to the house of the Philippian jailer. But in this chapter, in verses 16 through 38, he's put in there, and at midnight they're singing songs, and an earthquake comes and breaks open the jail, and everybody is the doors are open, and they could just walk out, but they don't. And the jailer comes in, and he's going to kill himself, and Paul hollers at him and says, "Don't do it. We're all here." And he comes, and as a result of Paul's testimony, the Lord saves him. And then we find down in the later verses of the chapter that when that happens, those people that had caused Paul to be put in jail come and try to, and they plan to take him out the back door, if you will. And in verse 35 it says, "When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, 'Let those men go.'" Now, it's not, unless you read this carefully, you don't notice something here that's going on. These magistrates during the night have realized they made a big boo-boo. And they've imprisoned a Roman citizen without due process. Okay? And so they realize they messed up, and they're coming to rectify this, so they send the sergeant and say, "Come on, you're free, go on out." Now read on. "And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.' But Paul said unto them, 'They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out.'" Now what does that teach you about civil disobedience, brothers and sisters? It teaches you that we ought to consider it our right, both under the laws of this nation and under God, to challenge when authority steps over the line and breaks its own laws. We have a right to challenge it, and we should. Brother Paul at least teaches us that in our text and in this chapter 16 of our reading. Now, let's read verse 26 and 27 again of our text, and see something else that it teaches us. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was free born." I want you to notice that when they're called upon it, law enforcement and government is cautious about personal liberties, brothers and sisters, of free people when they are willing and ready to obey the law themselves. You won't find a single official, a single lawkeeper that objects to obeying the law when they are obedient to the law themselves. But the first indicator to us as a free people that our lawkeepers, our lawmakers, our leaders and our rulers are contrary to the laws of our land is that when they object to us holding the law up before them. And we need to be aware of that because it's something that God's people need to realize. So he tells them that he is freeborn, and he tells them, as soon as he tells them, that centurion goes to his boss and says, "You need to watch this guy. You need to be careful what you do to him because he is a Roman." I believe in America, our leaders of our land need to once again come to fear the people of America. I think the big thing wrong today is that our leaders have forgotten who hires them and who keeps them in office and who they are there to represent. I think it's a big problem. This centurion saved this Roman colonel from getting into trouble by warning him in advance. And brothers and sisters, I think we need to warn our national leaders, our leaders in general, our law enforcers in general, that we, the people of the United States, are the ones that govern ourselves. And they are to represent us as our people speaking with our voice about government. And when that doesn't happen, mistakes are made and leaders and law enforcers will cross the people, the free people of a nation, with their doings, with their handling of the law. The rights and the liberties, brothers and sisters, of free people is based on the law of the land, not on the whims of those in authority. And Brother Paul knew that. He knew that there were laws in Rome that forbade mistreating a Roman citizen and forbade any kind of maltreatment like that without the due process of a trial. He had no court hearing, but those soldiers were about to go and do the very thing that a court could have authorized them to do if this Roman citizen had been tried in a court of law. But until that court of law ruled that way, this Roman soldier was stepping over the bounds to do what he was about to do. And Brother Paul understood that. We as God's people living in America need to understand that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and it wasn't given to us by the government of the United States. It was given to us by God Himself. These are unalienable rights because God gave them to us. And I'm going to deal with that this afternoon using those words out of the Declaration of Independence to show you from Scripture that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for we as the American people is a benefit come from God, not from government. Now, there have been thousands of years that various governments have attempted to convince its citizenry that everything they get comes by way of the beneficence of the government. It's not true. And it can never be true in a free republic, brothers and sisters. We get what we get from God, first and last, and forever. Not from government. And so, Paul appealed to the laws of the land to set these men straight on what they were to do. You know, America the Beautiful has a phrase in one of the stanzas, and that phrase says this, and it's as though the song speaks to America, is what it is. And it says, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Or in other words, it would be like saying, confirm your liberty by the way the law functions. And brothers and sisters, this is the contest of the day today. We, the people of the United States, need to clearly understand that the laws of the Constitution were made, they were drawn up, they were settled, and they were accepted by this United States of America as a set of laws that define what, listen to me, what government cannot do to us. They do not define what we cannot do. They define what we can do in liberty and freedom, but they are defining what the government cannot do to us. And I think a lot of people today have lost sight of that. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, but there's a revealing statement that John Adams, second president of the United States, made that really explains the only way the Constitution will function as the law of the land. And I close with this because this is the most critical piece of whether or not America survives. Listen to John Adams' wisdom in this. And brothers and sisters, this falls in our bailiwick. This is something that we can do something about, and this is something that we should focus on as God's people. Listen what John Adams said. He said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other kind of people. That last phrase is mine. It is, John Adams said, it is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. He knew his grammar. I'm saying any other kind of people so you understand exactly what he meant. So we as God's people, we have a right to challenge authority when authority has stepped beyond its authority. And we have today, as you know, a lot of government employees, government officials that have been told from somewhere that they are independent of obedience to the laws of the land, that they can conduct certain things because the boss says they conduct certain things. And they deny the Constitution in that conduct. It cannot be, brothers and sisters. And we have a right to challenge it. But if we sit quietly by and let those who purport to be political leaders of ours walk over the top of the laws of the land and be above the law, then whatever happens to us, we've got coming to us. So we need a challenge. We can do it with all kinds of deference, all kinds of respect, but we need to challenge anybody who thinks they have a right to act above the law. And this is especially true of those who are supposed to represent the law of the land in our country.